There are some prominent black Christian leaders in America with an important message for the church today. Will we listen?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are going to walk through a minefield today together on The Line of Fire. And I believe when we are done, however much time you have, whether it's 10 minutes or 2 hours, when you're done, when we're done with this time together, there will be more light than heat. There will be more truth than simply controversy. Are you ready to join me on this journey? Michael Brown, thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. And I want to hear from as many of you as possible. I'm going to qualify that in terms of who in particular I'd like to hear from, but I want to hear from as many of you as possible at this number, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. So be ready to call. You can also weigh in on my website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on The Line of Fire. All right. Here's what we're going to do today. And I'm going to just shoot straight and be absolutely, completely honest and transparent with you, which is what you've come to expect from me here on The Line of Fire. No hype, just the truth, no hidden agenda. All right. I have had over the years, as a believer, a special sense of solidarity with the black church. I can't tell you all the reasons why, as a white Jewish American, but for many years, since fairly early in the Lord, I've appreciated the fervor. I've appreciated, I'm Jewish. There's a certain soul we have, a certain history of oppression. Even though you might not associate that with Jews today, there's a history of oppression. Liberation is part of our own history. Maybe I've identified with that in black history as well, black American history in particular. And the soul, you know, I'm a drummer. And just the method of worship, the style of worship, I would often joke when I'd be preaching in a black church, hey, you guys clap on the right beat, you clap on the upbeat, and the white church is going, you know, and just the responsiveness as I preach and the friends that I've had who have been black believers over the years, I've just had a special sense of solidarity. And, you know, as I travel the world, I'm in many nations, many cultures, and I often immediately begin to relate to the place where I am and feel that solidarity. But I'm just telling you honestly, I've had this sense of kinship that's been very special and meaningful to me over the years with my African-American brothers and sisters. And I had some very special memories in the greater D.C. area with some dear friends that met in a synagogue, shared a building with a synagogue, a black Christian group with a tremendous heart for Israel and the Jewish people, and they sometimes had joint meetings, and I spoke for that church. Well, it was quite a shock to me a few years ago when Mr. Obama was running for the presidential candidacy among the Democrats. He was still Senator Obama then. When I got on the air and I was talking about different candidates and where I agreed with this one and differed with that one, and it was quite a shock to me when I would take issue with Mr. Obama that people began to call, some African-American callers, and said, why are you always bringing up race? I said, what do you mean bringing up race? They said, all you do is bash Obama. And I said, well, that's odd. And I checked. I said, I mentioned him twice, and I criticized a point Senator McCain had made the week before. And I don't know, who's seeing race? I said, I like a lot of the things Senator Alan Key stood for before. He's black. And it baffled me. And I thought, okay, rather than proving I'm right here, what I want to do is win the confidence of my listeners and be able to address things honestly and candidly so people realize this is not a racial bone in my body. That's not the issue. The issue is the issue. And there are now prominent black Christian leaders who are calling their fellow black Christians here in America not to vote for Mr. Obama. They're not necessarily endorsing Romney. Some that's the last thing on their mind. But they're making some very, very strong claims. I want to share some of them with you. Some excerpts, some audio clips this hour, and a live interview next. And I want to get your response. Oh, yes, it's going to be very interesting today right here.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, in a moment, I'm going to play some excerpts from a call to black Christians from Bishop E.W. Jackson. He is founder and bishop of Exodus Faith Ministries, founder and president of Staying True to America's National Destiny, a Marine Corps veteran, Harvard Law School graduate, and former practicing lawyer and adjunct law professor. And he has an article in Washington Times, Blacks Are Abandoning the Democratic Party, Won't Trade Christian Principles for Politics. I want to say again, this program is not an endorsement of Mitt Romney. This program is not an endorsement of the Republican Party. In fact, I'm not even going there in my thoughts or comments. This has to do with black Christians and President Obama and the Democratic Party. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I was on a large radio station in L.A. earlier this week, and the radio host wanted to ask me about why Jews in America vote so heavily for the Democratic Party and why they still seem to have allegiance to the Democratic Party despite the negative policies of this last administration in many ways towards Israel. And of course, there is some level of defection. Well, I could speak to that as a Jew, but I think it's important that, you know, we can talk across communities and background and culture, especially as believers, we're one in Jesus. At the same time, I think it's best that we work through some of these issues from our own perspectives. And I'm going to play a number of clips from Bishop Jackson, and I'm going to play a clip and then give you some time to respond to that, and then play another clip. Over the course of 1 hour, I'll play them all. Next hour, I have a live interview with Dr. Patrick Wooden, Bishop Wooden, a prominent African-American Christian leader here in North Carolina. And I'll tell you how you can get the CDs, the complete broadcast of both hours of the program today. But again, my purpose in doing this is gospel. My purpose in doing this is kingdom. My purpose in doing this is to spark discussion. So anyone can call whatsoever. And my simple question is going to be, do you agree or disagree with what Bishop Jackson has to say? All right. I'd like in particular to hear from those who profess to be Christians. And I'd like in particular to hear from my African-American brothers and sisters. But anyone can call. What I ask you to do, though, is please hear what Bishop Jackson has to say and then respond. And this has to do with gospel issues. Let me ask you a question. If we lived in the days of slavery, all right, the horrors of slavery, if there was a candidate who was pro-slavery, and let's say we had radio back then, and I got on the air and say, I don't care how good this candidate is on the economy. I don't care how good this candidate is on national security. I don't care how good this candidate is on other issues. He is a pro-slavery candidate. Therefore, no Christian should vote for him. Would that have been something you would have agreed with? Because that would certainly be a stance I would have taken. Well, this is what Bishop Jackson and others are saying is happening today, that there are issues that are so profoundly important, that they cannot be ignored. I think we've got five clips total. Maybe it's 4 minutes complete, but I wanted to break it down into more bite-sized pieces so that it would be more manageable. All right, let us listen to what Bishop E.W. Jackson has to say.
My name is Bishop E.W. Jackson, Chairman of Ministers Taking a Stand, with a message to Christians in the black community. It is time to end the slavish devotion to the Democrat Party. They have insulted us, used us, and manipulated us. They have saturated the black community with ridiculous lies. Unless we support the Democrat Party, we will be returned to slavery. We will be robbed of voting rights. The Martin Luther King holiday will be repealed. They think we are stupid and that these lies will hold us captive while they violate everything we believe as Christians. The Democrat Party has created an unholy alliance between certain so-called civil rights leaders and Planned Parenthood, which has killed unborn black babies by the tens of millions. Planned Parenthood has been far more lethal to black lives than the KKK ever was. And the Democrat Party and their black civil rights allies are partners in this genocide.
All right. Very, very strong claims by Bishop E.W. Jackson, speaking to fellow black brothers and sisters. He says that there is a slavish devotion to the Democratic Party. He said that they have been told ridiculous lies and that they think, meaning the Democrats, think that we, black Americans, are stupid. He says there has been an unholy alliance with civil rights leaders and Planned Parenthood. He speaks of a genocide. Of course, more African Americans are killed by abortion than all other causes of death combined, the next causes of death combined. He speaks of it as a genocide, said Planned Parenthood has killed far more black Americans than has the KKK. And of course, he will plainly and flatly say that no Christian can vote for President Obama or support the Democrat Party platform. What do you think of what he has to say? In particular, if you identify with the target group to whom he's speaking, which is black Americans who identify as Christian. Let's remember, demographically, there is more spirituality in the black community than the white community. There is a higher church attendance in the black community than the white community. There is a greater emphasis on family values and conservative beliefs demographically in the black community and the white community. A survey done, I believe, by Baylor University some years ago found that about 6% of Americans identified as atheists. About 8% of American Jews identified as atheists. And yet, the statistical number for African Americans identifying as atheists was zero. In other words, it's that small. So this is, excuse me, an appeal, a passionate appeal to black Christians from a black Christian leader. Do you agree or disagree? 866-34-TRUTH. Right to the phones, and we'll play more clips as we go on. Daniel in Lanham, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing? First of all, I didn't know you were Jewish. I actually thought you were black.
Oh, really?
Hello?
Well, yeah. from my tone of voice? From my tone of voice or my expression?
Yes.
Well, that's really
that's
cool.
Correct, yes.
That. Thank you. Yes. I'm blessed to hear that. Thank you, sir.
Okay, the other thing is, listen to your bishop. I agree with him. I work for a security company and home security. The minute I walk into a house, the first thing people will say to me is, did you hear the speech that he made last night? And generally they're referring to Obama. They just naturally assume that I'm black and I'm going to vote Democratic. And I look at that and I'm like, just because I'm black, I don't have to vote Democratic. And I do vote by beliefs or my principles. Is the number one thing that I vote for is my principles. And as for slavery and the abortion character, to me, that's hitting it right on the head, because you can't tell me if you were a slave, you wouldn't want somebody to free you. And then you're trying to say that, well, it's not you're not the one that's having the abortion. You're not forcing that person to get the abortion, but you are empowering that person to have the abortion, you know, the right to say that abortion now is something that we can do with the swipe of a pen. In other words, they're saying that we're not forcing that person to have the abortion, but you're giving the president the power to have to kill that person. And it to me, it's just...
And you're making really, you're making it tax-funded. On top of it. Hey, Daniel, one quick question for you. How long have you been listening to me?
I guess since about 6 months, I guess.
All right. Well, cool. So now you know I'm Jewish on top of it, and we got more in common than we realized. All right. God bless you, Daniel. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. 866-34-TRUTH. Donna in Boston, Massachusetts. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Donna.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I want to say, as Daniel, I thought you were African-American as well. But that's neither here nor there.
Can I just say this, though, Donna? The reason I was complimented by that meant that when I've touched on controversial issues, I've not sounded like an outsider, but an insider. And that's really my heart. You know, my heart has such deep solidarity with so many folks that are not my skin color and not my own background, and especially in the Black American community. So that blesses me that as you heard me, I sounded more like someone of your skin color, which means that I've been able to identify. But tell you what, get started now. Then we got a quick break, and I'll come back to you. But please get started.
Okay, yes, I do agree with the bishop and what he said. I just wish he had said that 4 years ago, because I don't vote either by our party, Republican or Democrat. I vote according to my conscience, according to what the Word of God said. And the candidate that is more like what the Word of God said is who I will vote for, not because the person is black, white, or whatever color. All this infanticide that's going on, that's being approved by our current government, is ridiculous.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Hey Donna, stay right there. I want to hear from you some more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we're playing some clips from Black Christian leader Bishop E.W. Jackson calling on Christians, and in particular his Black American brothers and sisters, not to vote Democratic. He's not endorsing the Republicans. He's simply saying that we cannot sacrifice our convictions and our biblical beliefs because of devotion to a party. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm about to play another clip. First, Donna in Boston, you made reference to all the infanticide going on. I just wanted to give you a moment to explain what you meant by that, because it's a very charged comment, and I know that you said it with a forethought.
Yes, the infanticide is the abortion. I mean, the abortion mill, they're making millions of dollars off of these children that cannot speak for themselves. Women are using abortion as a form of contraceptive. This is a life that they're taking. It's a life that does not belong to them. God gives life. And they're just, it's like it's nothing. And it's not being stamped okay by this current administration. It's ridiculous. And then they want to redefine marriage. And then they're anti-Israel. I mean, as a follower of Jesus Christ, how can you consciously vote for someone who's anti-Christ?
Right.
That's
and that's
the main basis.
Yeah, that's exactly where Bishop Jackson goes, in fact, with the rest of his comments. Hey, Donna, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it so much. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me play one more clip, and then I want to get to as many calls as possible.
The Democrat Party has equated homosexuality with being black, which is another outrageous lie. They can keep their homosexuality private. You and I cannot hide being black. I need not recount to you the painful history of slavery, Jim Crow, lynchings, and sterilizations, all because of skin color. Anyone who dares equate the so-called gay rights movement to the history of black Americans is exploiting the black community. They say opposition to same-sex marriage is the same as opposition to interracial marriage. That is an insult to human intelligence. It is a lie. No Christian should support this. Yet the Democrat Party has now declared same-sex marriage an official part of its platform. And black Christians remain in that party?
Ah, all right, brings up another pivotally important issue. He takes great exception to the idea that homosexual practice can be equated with skin color. And as he said, we can't hide being black. And no comparison in the history of suffering between the two groups, not to downplay hardship and difficulties that gays and lesbians have experienced, but clearly to say there's no comparison in the suffering. Then ask the question, how can you be part of a party that not only supports Planned Parenthood and the slaughtering of millions of black Americans in the womb, but how can you support a party that is aggressively trying to redefine marriage? So says Bishop E.W. Jackson. Steve in Fredericksburg, Virginia, your response to the bishop's words.
Hey, Michael, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
The bishop is 100% correct. What does it take for Christians to take a stand? A wonderful pastor in Dumfries made a public statement that he will not vote for this president after he made that homosexual marriage statement. And he's black, and it's about time. The political climate will not change unless people demand that their platform changes. Christians
right.
need to take a stand, black, white, Hispanic, whatever.
Got it. Got it. All clear, Steve. Thank you for weighing in. And the question is, when do we take a stand? Now, again, I'm not saying that the answer is Mitt Romney or the Republican Party. That's an entirely separate discussion. That is not the question here, and that is not the purpose of this show. This is not a subtle way to try to recruit people to vote for Mitt Romney. That's the last thought on my mind. The last thought on my mind. 866-34-TRUTH. Now, I am not screening these calls in terms of I want to get everyone to agree or disagree. I'm just taking them now in the order that they came in. So the first few callers have agreed with the bishop. So let me continue. And if you have a difference, that's fine. We'll get to everyone who's called. Nancy in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, hello, Michael. Thank you for taking my call as well. And you're going to be going 3-for-3 because I am all in favor of what both of them said. I wish that it could have been said in public 4 years ago. I myself stood up in church against Barack Obama, and I was speaking primarily to a white congregation. I happened to be African-American, but I was in a white congregation, and I pleaded with them, please, please, please do not vote for this man, because I'm old enough to have remembered and seen Dr. King give his I Have a Dream speech, and that those words shot through me when he said that we should never judge anybody by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I'll never forget those as long as I live.
Yeah, well, Nancy, God bless you for standing then and standing again now and reminding us of those words that are prophetically true. Thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me grab one more call before the break. Everybody else, stay with me. I will get to as many calls as possible. And you're free to differ. That's not the issue. I want to hear what you have to say. Joanne in Queens, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, God bless you, Dr. Brown. How are you, sir?
I'm blessed, thank you.
Wonderful. I've been listening to you for a while, and you've been a blessing to my life. I appreciate your ministry. I've purchased so many of your materials, and I've been on your website. You've just been a blessing to me. So I thank God for you
that.
And your resources and your ministry. But quickly, because I know you want to get to other callers, I totally agree with Bishop Jackson, and I agree with you totally as far as the stance that we have to take in regards to voting according and in allegiance to God's word and our principles and loving the word of God. So many of the African-American church, and of course I am African-American, we have not understood the importance of putting scripture first. It's almost like so many in our community who are Christians and professing salvation and who are professing to be filled with the Holy Spirit, they have forgotten that the word of God is still first and not skin color. So we've always looked at skin color, we've always looked at the first African-American president, and we've placed that above the word of God. And the danger in that is causing so many people to continue to want to vote for this president. And so many of the leadership, bishops and pastors in the African-American church community, having stood up and cried aloud from the pulpits, stating that we must stand for the word, regardless to the fact that this man is an African-American president, and first, we must stand on godly principles. And that's all I want to say. Godly principle always comes before culture, color, or anything else.
Got it. Hey, Joanne, thanks for weighing in, and thanks so much for the kind words. I really appreciate that so much. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, here's how you get the entire 2 hours of broadcasting now. Your interaction with Bishop E.W. Jackson, and then my live interview with Dr. Patrick Wooden, Bishop Wooden, in the second hour. I have two important books, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, and It's Time to Rock the Boat. Two of the most important books I've ever written, Wake Up, Shake Up, Calls That'll Stir You, Inspire You, Challenge You. We put them together in one volume. You can get that, plus the CDs for today's show for just $20 postage paid. That's half of what it would cost purchased individually. Call today, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. The two books together as one and the CDs from the broadcast. 1-800-278-9978. Hey, keep your focus. Keep it where it needs to be on Jesus.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we are continuing to interact with Bishop E.W. Jackson. He has an article in Washington Times, Blacks Are Abandoning the Democratic Party. He is founder and bishop of Exodus Faith Ministries, founder and president of Staying True to America's National Destiny, that's standamerica.us. He's a Marine Corps veteran, Harvard Law School graduate, and former practicing lawyer and adjunct law professor. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's play clip number three, and then I will take your calls.
The civil rights establishment has embraced the lies and betrayed the black community and God Almighty for 30 pieces of silver from the Democrat Party. We as Christians ought to know better. Shame on us for allowing ourselves to be sold to the highest bidder. We belong to God. Our ancestors were sold against their will centuries ago, but we're going to the slave market voluntarily today. Yes, it's just that ugly. What do you call it when Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and my sins and paid the price for our freedom, and you join in covenant with a political party that doesn't even want God mentioned in their platform and gets offended at the very mention of Jesus' name?
All right. These are comments that are coming from a black Christian leader, and I want to be candid with you, even though I feel free to speak to the whole body. Even though I feel free to address any issue that's relevant to the whole body, I could not say these things with the force with which he is saying them. And on a certain level, I don't have the right to. So I want to hear from you if you agree or differ. He has claimed that there is a slavish devotion to the Democrat Party among American blacks, that they are being told, or you're being told, ridiculous lies, that the Democrat Party thinks you're stupid to believe them, that there's an unholy alliance, that it's wrong to equate homosexuality with skin color, that the Democrat Party is blatantly wrong in standing with Planned Parenthood, which has taken more African-American lives than the KKK. He refers to it as a genocide. He says that there's no possible way that a Christian can stand with a party that wants to redefine marriage. And he says the civil rights establishment has sold out to the highest bidder. What do you think of these comments? PG in Bowie, Maryland, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Brother Michael Brown, it is an honor to get to talk to you. I've been listening for about 6 months, and I'm African-American, and I thank God for you and the work that you've been doing and the way you've been doing it. I pray for your that the Lord would just prosper you in him, man. I want to say that E.W. Jackson is not only on point in every aspect of what he said. But I'd like to, if you don't mind, encourage you to modify your notes, because in your first, in your setup of the whole program, after you played EW's, the clip, the first clip, you went down some bullet points that you got out of his message. There's one little nuance that you missed that you didn't write down and read back to your audience. And that
Tell me, please.
And that was, and this is critical, E.W. Jackson said something to this effect. He said, so-called civil rights leaders are beholden to the abortion industry, or something to that effect. That phrase, or that, that modifier, so-called, is exceedingly important, because they are not civil rights leaders in truth. They market themselves as such, and they have a significant following as such in government and amongst even, you know, African-Americans and non-African-Americans. However, they are not cut out of the same cloth as what God would consider one who defends rights of human beings.
All right, PG, we've got a break here. First, thank you, sir, for the kind words, and thank you for pointing that out. I listened to the clips first, and then I took notes again as they were being played. I'm going to replay that clip so everyone can hear it. All right, so thank you, sir, for weighing in. I appreciate that.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the broadcast as we interact with comments made by Black Bishop E.W. Jackson appealing to Black Christians in America. This is not an endorsement of Mitt Romney, nor is it an attempt to get people to vote for Mr. Romney. It's completely unrelated to the broadcast. It could be a secondary or tertiary issue, but it is not my focus. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, Nicole, LaToya, Joe, Pat, Ruben, stay right there. I'm coming your way. I'm taking calls in a moment, but I want to replay the opening clip in case you missed it, and also based on the comments that PG made a moment ago. Let's listen to Bishop Jackson's opening words, and then we'll go back to later on in his comments.
My name is Bishop E.W. Jackson, chairman of Ministers Taking a Stand, with a message to Christians in the Black community. It is time to end the slavish devotion to the Democrat Party. They have insulted us, used us, and manipulated us. They have saturated the Black community with ridiculous lies. Unless we support the Democrat Party, we will be returned to slavery. We will be robbed of voting rights. The Martin Luther King holiday will be repealed. They think we are stupid and that these lies will hold us captive while they violate everything we believe as Christians. The Democrat Party has created an unholy alliance between certain so-called civil rights leaders and Planned Parenthood, which has killed unborn Black babies by the tens of millions. Planned Parenthood has been far more lethal to Black lives than the KKK ever was. And the Democrat Party and their Black civil rights allies are partners in this genocide.
All right, very strong words again. And I want to, well, tell you what, I'll hold off on another clip. We'll play, we've got two more short clips to go, but I want to go back to the phones. And thus far, every caller has agreed with Bishop Jackson. I know some will not agree, but thus far, every caller has. I want to hear from both sides, if there are other sides out there. And by the way, I agree 100% with Bishop Jackson. But I assume you know that anyway. But that's why we have live talk radio, so we can talk about these things. All right, Nicole in Silver Spring, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. Brown, thank you for taking my call. I do enjoy your show. I am on this topic, however, in disagreement. And since the bishop used such strong words, I just am offended. In a sense, every clip you play, I get more offended.
All right, tell me why.
I am offended by the fact that I am African American. I'm offended by even the fact that he lumps all Black African Americans into one group, as if we don't have individual ideas and thoughts and understanding of the Bible or even government and what our needs are. Mm-hmm. I'm offended in the sense that I'm also a Democrat, not because I feel like I, have been brainwashed from a slave, from having a slave mentality, but because I look at the different issues and the fact that government is supposed to serve a certain role versus my religious beliefs serving a certain role in my life. And looking at what the role that government is supposed to play, I distinguish that government should not be there to make religious choices for me, as well as I'm offended because there are, I would say a majority of Democrats who are Christians, and it's as if our Christian beliefs are different than someone else's, whether they be Republican or independent or what have you. They are different Christians.
Nicole, let me just ask you a question, and thanks so much for being gracious with your differences, because I know these things can get our blood boiling on either side. So thanks for your gracious and respectful tone when you've been offended. Would you say that religion and morality go hand in hand?
Yes.
Okay, because I look at these as moral issues. In other words, the slaughter of babies in the womb, the redefining of marriage, I look at those as moral issues, and our religious beliefs interface with those. But I'm saying, as a follower of Jesus, when a party or a candidate is making immoral choices, or a party has an immoral platform, or a platform that leads to the taking of lives, then I have to say that's in conflict with what I stand for religiously and morally. And they could believe in Buddha, they could believe in Santa Claus, they could believe in Jesus, but if that's their moral policy, then I can't support it. And that's how I would look at it, just to interact with what you're saying.
Okay, however, God wants us to come to him each individually, and he's the judge of us, right? He's supposed to be the ultimate judge of the lives that we've led and in coming to him and being saved. And for, you know, he has given us our own free will to choose mm-hmm. or to not choose him, to make decisions, whether they be simple or not. And Jesus, was sent here to die for our sins because he knows that we're not going to be perfect. To impose upon the government to basically say, what one of the callers earlier said, what I felt from what he was saying was the government should not allow us the choice to make to sin, whether that be homosexual sin or abortion sin. The government should not allow us that choice. Yet God allows us to make that choice, and he then will forgive us or not forgive us of our sins. So that's where I have the conflict with, you know, it being made a Democrat versus Republican or a voting choice on the government when God doesn't even do that.
Yeah, and here's where I would differ with you respectfully, and I wanted to give you a little extra time because everyone's been in agreement and you were the first one differing, so I want to give you a little extra time, but I got to get to a few more calls ASAP. But where I would differ is that parties, candidates do make decisions or point our nation in certain ways that can be good or bad, just like Abraham Lincoln and the freeing of the slaves and the Emancipation Proclamation. These were moral choices that the government made. When Mr. Obama has been so radically pro-abortion and wanting the government to now, mandating that we would have to all pay for abortion and that various companies would have to provide day-after pills for abortion, like Hobby Lobby is suing a Christian company saying we can't do that for our employees, or saying that the government should change the definition of marriage. They are making choices, and then morally, we can't stand with them. Hey, Nicola, thanks for listening. Keep listening. Your blood may boil some more. But thanks for listening. Thanks for calling and sharing your viewpoint. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Joe in my... All right. We lost Joe. He was a Hispanic listener in agreement with the bishop. Latoya in Washington, D.C. We lost Latoya, but she said we must support the candidate that's aligned with our beliefs. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's play clip number 4.
If your pastor tells you to vote for a party that disrespects Jesus, you need to leave that church. Black pastors are also going to have to answer for whether they serve Jesus or the Democrat Party. The black community will never prosper by betraying God and following leadership that curries the favor of the Democrat Party. It is time for Christians to have the faith and courage to refuse to associate with a political party that has over the years become anti-Christian, anti-church, anti-Bible, anti-life, anti-family, and anti-God.
All right, that's strong. Anti-Christian, anti-life, anti-family, anti-God, anti-Bible. And he's saying because the vast majority of black Americans or black Christians, black Americans have voted democratically, that needs to be reevaluated. And in fact, cannot be supported. Pat in Liberty, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
Wonderful. I agree with the bishop. I disagree with the lady that called in just a few minutes ago. But anyway, I think with all my heart and soul as a pastor, that he's absolutely right. But the main thing that we need to understand, God is no respect person. And he didn't, when he looked down from the beginning and he looked down and he saw a black child, he didn't say, oh, well, he saw a child. When he looked down, he saw an Indian. He didn't say, oh, well, he saw the child. When he looked down and saw me, he didn't see, oh, there's a white baby. He saw me. Abortion is terrible. Now, the next thing I'd like to say is that the Jews and the black people, you know, a black man carried the cross of Christ. What a blessed thing that that must have been to readily realize later what he had done for our Savior. Now, I'm very interested in the fact that a man could not even look at the Bible.
Pat, hey, Pat, I apologize. You hear the music there. Got to jump in. We've got a break. Yeah, I feel a special union as a Jew with my black brothers and sisters. It's an interesting thing. Hey, thank you for the call, Pat. I appreciate it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
2008, President Obama won 95% of the African-American vote. Hence, the call by various black Christian leaders not to vote for him this time around because of his radically anti-biblical, anti-Christian, anti-moral policies. These are their words. You'll hear from Bishop Patrick Wooden in the second hour as we deal with this. Let's play clip number 5 from Bishop Jackson.
The Democrat Party is also becoming increasingly anti-Israel. And God said, I will curse those that curse Israel. Do you want to be cursed with them? It is time to come out of the Democrat Party and to refuse to support its candidates in their rebellion against God. It's not about party, but principle. It's not about race, but righteousness. And you will stand before God to give an account for your choices and motives. We don't need the Democrat Party or any party. We need God. God will take care of us. It's been a long time coming, but the time has come to take a stand. Come out from among them. Exodus now.
All right. Couldn't make it any clearer than that, could you? Ruben in Miami, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hey, doctor, how are you?
I'm blessed, thank you.
Good. Very well, God bless you. I'm totally in agreement with what you're saying. I not only feel hurt, but through the word of God, offended that more Christians are not standing up, whether it be black, white, color really doesn't matter within the word of God. We have to call sin, but what it is, sin. The lady who called in, that her opinion was totally different. It pretty much hurts me inside and to grieve that God never changes. Sin for God is still sin, whether it be killing a baby or stealing a pen or what have you. But again, I urge all Christians to look at themselves as Christians first and leave all parties aside and know that Jesus Christ is still on the throne and he is in control. And let your heart speak, and let the convictions of God speak through you. And again, abortion is a terrible thing. And once we start looking at the parties, whether we're Democrats or Republicans, I think we've left pretty much our spiritual and our moral obligations behind if we start looking at it in that manner.
Yeah, Ruben, thank you for the call and for weighing in. I appreciate it. Look, personally, I cannot in conscience identify as a Republican or a Democrat. In conscience, I don't identify with either party. I'm an independent voter, and I will vote for the person or the party that I feel is best going to carry out what is best for America. So I don't identify with either party personally. I'm not condemning you if you do, but here is a strong call to come out from the Democrat Party to black Christians from a black Christian leader. Rick in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. What's going on now?
Hey,
I'm listening to this pastor, and I just think it's just funny how he's just throwing a whole group of people in one realm. And it's like, why are we spending so much time trying to equate God and politics? I mean, the last time I checked, when I go before God, I have to answer for my sins, not the sins of my political party and their beliefs. I mean, when it comes down to abortion, you have a choice. I mean, just because they say you can go do it doesn't mean you have to do it. That's something you have to deal with. That's between you and God. the same thing with gay marriage. Like, just because it's allowed doesn't mean this is, you know, something that you have to go do and everybody needs to support it. I mean, this is a choice that you have to make, because when you go before God, you have to answer for that. You know
what I
mean?
Rick, so, but I got a question for you, Rick. I see God involved in everything. Everything. Not just my personal life, but everything. So here's the deal. If I vote for a candidate who is now going to take my tax money to pay for someone's abortion, they just forced me to be involved. Or if I'm going to vote for a candidate that's going to change the definition of marriage, and now my grandkids in school are going to be taught that you can have two mommies or two daddies, and that's fine. Now, I'm complicit in that with my vote. That's my issue. I mean, I don't see how we can separate these things. Go ahead. No, back to you.
No,
go ahead,
I agree with you, but, I mean, that starts at the house. That depends on how you teach your children. You know what I mean? I mean, that's between the relationship that you have with your children and the relationship that you allow them to have with God. You know what I mean? Those are your teachings. What we learn out here in public, I mean, that's something totally different. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, just because they say it's...
I just don't look at it as totally different. I look at it as related. Follow what I'm saying, Rick? In other words,
I got you.
What I'm teaching my kids in the home, I don't want them to go to school and have a system in the school where they're not going to be taught the opposite because I voted for a political candidate that made that possible. But, hey, Rick, I appreciate you weighing in. Here's where we agree. Our biggest focus must be on exalting Jesus. Hey, Elijah, I'm not going to have a chance to take your call, but, yeah, we need to do more praying than talking. I agree with you, sir. And Ashley, Mike, others, out of time. However, I want to encourage you to keep listening online. My guest, Dr. Bishop Patrick Wooden, is going to weigh in ways that are very similar to what Bishop E.W. Jackson has said. And any feelings he has about this are completely independent of Bishop Jackson. But I want to ask Dr. Wooden, at the beginning of the next hour, why is he mixing the gospel with politics? Of course, I don't believe that's the case, but many people think, hey, you should just be preaching to the church or winning the lost, and bishops and Christian leaders should not be involved in politics. So I want to dispel some myths, get through some misunderstanding, and remember, friends, what we are saying is not, I want to say this again, is not a subtle attempt to get Christians to vote for Mitt Romney or to get Black Americans to become Republican. That's not on my mind at all. It is simply the issue of voting righteously. And as Bishop E.W. Jackson has said as we played some of his clips, it is not possible to be devoted to Jesus and vote for a candidate who will so militantly oppose certain biblical and Christian principles. So work these things out. My own surveying thus far, being on the radio for years, is that I'm hearing from a large number of Black American Christians who agree with Bishop Jackson, who agree with Dr. Wooden, and yet there's a lot of controversy over these things. And I want to say thank you to those listeners who told me you've been listening to me for months and thought I was a Black American, meaning that we have a heart that is beating the same way. And as a white American Jew, I have that deep sense of solidarity. I've shared that many a time. All right, friends, both hours of today's broadcast are going to be very important. Here's how you can get the CDs for both broadcasts. We are putting them together in a package with two of my most important wake-up call books. It's Time to Rock the Boat and Whatever Happened to the Power of God. Two books published as one, plus the CDs. The whole package, $20, postage paid. Call now to order 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, it is so easy at this time of the year to get caught up in politics, elections, squabbles between parties. Let us get caught up with Jesus. Let us get caught up with the Word of God. Let us get caught up with being disciples and making disciples, and then let us vote accordingly. There are some prominent Black Christian leaders in America with an important message for the church today. Will we listen?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Earlier this week, I did an interview in a major station out in Los Angeles, and one of the questions I was asked by the host is why is it such a large percentage of American Jews vote Democratic? Why is it that even with real controversy over the current administration's policies towards Israel and stance towards Israel and solidarity with Israel, that still the great, great majority of Jews still plan to vote democratically? It was a difficult question, one that I answered as candidly as I could. Of course, the same question comes up in perhaps even larger proportions with the Black American community. But now there is a rising controversy. There are more and more voices in the Black Christian community saying we cannot vote democratically. It doesn't mean they'll vote for the Republicans or Mr. Romney. It means they're saying we cannot in conscience vote for President Obama to be reelected. I've asked Dr. Patrick Wooden to join me on the show. Dr. Wooden is a bishop and pastor. He's been serving the Lord for more than 30 years in pastoral ministry for more than 25 years. He's based in Raleigh, the senior leader of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ. I'm going to be interviewing Pastor Wooden live for this entire hour, and I want to encourage you to call if you agree or if you disagree with Dr. Wooden. I want to have a healthy conversation, and he welcomes that. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Dr. Wooden has established other churches. He's a respected leader in his denomination. He's a businessman, and on and on. So I have a question for my friend, Bishop Patrick Wooden. Thank you, sir, for joining us on the air today.
Hello. I'm glad to be on the air. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Loud and clear. Thank you.
Good. Thank you for having me. Before we go any further, I would just love to, if I may, make one slight correction. I serve under the greatest bishop in North Carolina. His name is Bishop Leroy Jackson Willard. I am his first administrative assistant, and I don't want to assume his title.
Got it. All right.
I'm a pastor.
Got it. All clear. Well, you know, I think it's often a title of honor with
yes,
a prominent
sir,
leader in the church where they become known as bishop, and that's how I first heard of you in that context. But thanks for the clarification.
Sure.
All right, we've just got a minute and a half in our first segment here, but you're busy. You're in pastoral ministry. You're stretched out. You're doing so many different things. Why get involved with these political issues? Aren't you mixing the spiritual with the secular?
No. What has happened is, I've heard people say, preacher, stay in the church, preach the gospels, stay on your own territory and leave politics alone. What has happened is that the politician has stepped into the church. Now, the church owned marriage from Genesis chapter 1 up until the 1800s, early 1800s, and the marriage was the sole domain of the church. The government got involved in it, you know, for tax purposes, and when the government saw, of course, that marriage is in the interest of the public good, then marriage, the government encourages marriage, but the God of the Bible defined marriage. So when a politician steps into our territory and try to redefine what the God of the Bible has already defined, and our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 6, the B clause says, what God have joined together, speaking of the institution of marriage, let not man put asunder, then I don't see where any God-fearing pastor has a choice but to speak up and say we're not going to stand idly by and allow marriage to be redefined.
All right, loud and clear, and a great way to start. We come back, friends. Dr. Patrick Wooden, my guest, will explain why he, as a Black Christian, cannot support President Obama's reelection. And I want to hear from you if you agree or if you disagree. 866-348-7884.
Fire we want, for fire we plead. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My guest today with me this entire hour, Dr. Patrick Wooden, the pastor of Upper Room Church of God in Christ based in Raleigh, North Carolina, 866-34-TRUTH. Dr. Wooden, perhaps you could just enlighten our listeners in terms of the history of Black Americans and the Democrat-Republican Party. You can go back to Lincoln's day if you want, or you can go back 30 or 40 years. But has it always been that Black Americans primarily identified with the Democratic Party?
Oh, no. Initially, the Democrat Party wouldn't allow blacks to become a part of the party. And the only party that would welcome African-Americans initially was the Republican Party. I think the shift came during the Barry Goldwater years and the turbulent 60s many African-Americans, the argument is that many Democrats became Republicans and many Republicans became Democrats. I think that, in my personal opinion, history bears that when the African-American community, along with the Jewish community, along with many white people, we marched for freedom and for civil rights. I think in many cases, one of the things that happened with the Jewish community, after certain battles were won, certain rights were gained, they went more into the area of finances and starting their businesses and things like that, whereas we stayed with protesting government and getting more freedoms and that kind of a thing, which I'm not against that, but I do think that should have been a greater concentration on starting businesses and in many areas we did, but the history of this country is a checkered one with regards to our relationship with political parties. Where we are today, what concerns me is in our great state, there's 2.7 million registered Democrats, 1.9 million registered Republicans, and 1.6 million registered unaffiliates, 15,000 libertarians or so. And we have the dubious distinction of being the only group in America and in this state that votes 90% one way. And I believe from a political standpoint, and I think that both parties are proving some truth to what I'm saying. When you vote 90% one way, you take yourself out the game. Have you noticed that neither candidate are working for the black vote? They're trying to get the Latino vote, the women's vote, the Hispanics vote, but no one is saying, what do we need to do to get the black vote? That's because the Republican candidate assumes that he's not going to get it. The Democrat candidate knows that he has it, so he takes us for granted, and the Republican candidate doesn't pursue us, which puts us in a powerless position, and that powerlessness was proven on May the 9th. If we were a group that the president took seriously and he felt we would not support him no matter what, there is no way he would have come out in favor of same-sex marriage, because the African-American community, poll after poll show that we are opposed to same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. But when you assume that no matter what position I take, whether I cut the D.C. voucher program or cut the funding for the historical black colleges, or speak at speak to the Congressional Black Caucus and tell the people basically, stop your complaining, stop whining, stop crying, take off your bedroom slippers, put on your marching shoes. We've got to fight for the future. And when this is what you say to the African American community, and to our elected officials, and you tell Black Enterprise magazine that I'm not just the president of black people, I'm the president of the United States of America. Well, the African-American community is saying, we know that you're the president of the United States of America, but remember us. You remember what Maxine Waters said. She said, I don't know why that big black bus that the president is on, doing his bus tour, is not going through the African-American community. And she asked for permission from her constituents to go after him. So I think that, and I may not see it in my lifetime, but to the African-American listeners out there, I think every one of us should want to know, to want to experience what the Hispanic community experiences, and the Latino community, and the Asians, and even the homosexual, even the LGBT, and that is being courted by the candidates.
Yeah, again, you've laid this out. When we chatted a few weeks back at a big rally in Charlotte, and you pointed that out, both parties overlooking Black Americans,
right.
it was a poignant observation. Now, Dr. Wynn, you are known first and foremost as a pastor, as a preacher of the gospel, and that's
yes.
how you identify first and foremost within the church. And I know not everyone within the church is saved, but those claiming to be saved, those claiming to be Bible-based believers, followers of Jesus, as you've taken some of these positions, and again, you're not endorsing Republicans or Mr. Romney.
No.
You've been clear that that's not your agenda. And again, everyone's going to have to sort out how they vote accordingly and whether they vote, what they do. But you've made your stance clear in terms of we cannot vote for Mr. Obama because of abortion, because of redefining marriage. Have you gotten primarily affirmation from that, from the Black church, or primarily flack, or has it been divided?
It has been divided. Now, I have, to be honest with you, here in the city of Raleigh, I have gone through great persecution. I learned that on September the 16th, which happened to be my anniversary date for having pastored in the city for 25 years, that there was a story in the NNO where 25 pastors and politicians had a meeting. To protest me. We had an ad that we ran that mentioned how proud African Americans were on May the 8th to pass the marriage amendment, but on May the 9th, the President of the United States betrayed the values of the African American community by coming out and supporting the homosexual marriage. And the ad concludes with, "Join me in saying no more to President Obama." Now, what the people heard was they felt that they heard me say no more to Obama, but the ad was paid for by the National Organization for Marriage. We were speaking in the context of marriage, and I'm sure your listeners are well aware that as a result of what the president said on May the 9th, the Democrat Party added to its party platform, that they're going to overturn DOMA, or they wish to. And if they overturn DOMA, then their goal is to overturn the 31 states, southeastern states that have marriage protection in it. So we're speaking against this assault on marriage as defined by the God of the Bible and all of the other major world religions for that matter. So pastors had a press conference. No one called me and told me about it. As a matter of fact, I talked to the one reporter that showed up. It was an itinerant reporter for the NNO, and I told her, I said, "Ms. Wiggins, had I known that you were doing the story and you guys were having a press conference, I would have showed up. I love those guys. I love the pastors, and I would have showed up and been a part of the press conference. And after you finished interviewing all 25 of them, maybe you would have talked to me." So there are those who are quite upset. And on the other hand, there are people who walk up to me in grocery stores. People who one guy drove from Fayetteville just last week to be in the service and says, "I want to shake your hand. I want to applaud you for the stand that you're making." People have walked up to me, given me money. People have called and said to me, "Pastor, you have many public enemies, but there are many people who believe the way that you do." And there is more than one way to say no more to President Obama. My problem is there's this indifference, there's this silence in the community, no matter what he does. And I think that all politicians, whether they're Democrat or Republican, ought to be held accountable.
Yes, sir.
And if One is a man of the cloth who represents Jesus Christ. To me, that is a major disconnect when a human being, whether he is the president or a publisher of a magazine, when that human being can defy God and declare that same-sex marriage is the direction that the country ought to go in, if we say nothing, then there's a major disconnect. And if we still actively support this guy, then you're playing one way, but voting another.
Absolutely right. Dr. Wooden, stay with us. Our phone lines are jammed. D, Rick, Marvin, you're up next. And we come back with my guest, Dr. Patrick Wooden.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. My guest is Dr. Patrick Wooden. He is the senior pastor of Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, where he served now more than 25 years. And he was one of the key Christian leaders in the state of North Carolina, standing up for the marriage amendment. And I was so thrilled to hear his voice and his leadership in the midst of this. Dr. Wooden, I want to take some calls. Let's interact and hear what folks have to say. Let's begin with Dee in Atlanta, Georgia. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, Dee, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Okay, that was quicker than I thought.
Yeah.
Hi, I was calling because I take it that the pastor today is on the show to sort of discourage black voters from blindly voting for Barack Obama because he's black. And I'm wondering, are you going to do another show with a white pastor to discourage white voters from voting for Mitt Romney?
Well, yeah, Dee, I'll let Dr. Wooden speak for himself. But first, I've raised many questions about Mitt Romney myself over these months and shared why I'm far from enthusiastic for him as a candidate and the struggles that I'm having in terms. I know I can't vote for Mr. Obama, but Dee, isn't the difference that that Mr. Obama got 95% of the black vote, whereas the white vote in America is totally divided between Democrat and Republican? I mean, that's where I would find a distinction here. Do you agree with that?
Well, I mean, the numbers are skewed. You can't really depend on them. I mean, I wouldn't say that he has all the black voters. I have a lot of, black friends and family members. Not everyone I know is voting for him.
But he did get 95% of the black vote the first time around, that we do know, and without a major national white vote, he would not have become president. White voters are largely divided between Democrat and Republican. That's not a mystery.
Support for gay marriage. A lot of people feel differently about him.
Yeah, I agree. Things are changing. Yeah, Dr. Wooden, please go ahead.
Yeah, well, Dee, thanks for calling in, sir. I actually think that his question is a very fair question, in that, and I've said this, and Dr. Brown and I have talked about this. The same God of the Bible who will not allow me to vote for the most pro-abortion, same-sex marriage president that we've ever had, will not allow me to vote for a bishop in a cult. Now, some argue that, well, even though Mitt Romney is a Mormon, there are social positions that he take that those who are Christians agree with, such as Mitt Romney have said that he will protect the sanctity of marriage. He does protect freedom of religion, things like that, because we do know that at the end of the day, this whole same-sex marriage thing, it's all about our maintaining the right to practice our religion the way we have been practicing it, because if those on the other side had their way, I think that where it's headed is churches would, if all the laws were overturned, churches could possibly, their 501c3 status could be challenged if they didn't allow members of the same sex to use their sanctuaries to perform weddings, and no true man of God would allow that. But I don't think that that is an unreasonable question. And also, to Dr. Brown's point, I didn't get the memo that says that African Americans aren't allowed to be something other than Democrats. And I do think that, again, for the black race, for us as a people to gain more power, to gain more influence, there has got to be a defection at some point. Mm-hmm. From the Democrat Party, even if they become an affiliate or Republican, it would send a signal. If it just happened once, a signal would be sent to both parties that this group is back and they're worth fighting for, which I think is a issue of major importance. But my position is you're correct. I am going to vote in November. When it comes down to, there'll be many things on the ballot, but when it comes down to the office of the presidency, I may write in you, D. I may write in Dr. Brown. But right now, neither candidate has earned my vote. The African American situation is a unique one in that, again, the president is well aware of the feelings of the African-American community with regard to same-sex marriage, and he claims to be a Christian, so he knows what the Bible says. And this is a president who gave one of the most powerful speeches that I've ever heard on the importance of dads back in June 15, 2008, in his Father's Day address. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. The president Barry Bonds that speech. And he said that one of the main things we must admit, in too many cases, dads are missing. And he talked about what happens when there aren't dads in the house. And now the same man is saying that dads are optional and moms are optional. Because if you believe in same-sex marriage, where there's two women, there's no dad there, because two women won't equal a dad. And where there are two men, there's no mom there. Two men won't equal a mom. And in the African-American community, we've seen what has happened to our great community, what has happened to our great people as a result of fatherlessness. My position is African Americans are people also. We want the same things that all other Americans want. We are a part of this country. We have build this country. So we should be counted also and considered. Our families, our homes have been decimated, and with the things that have happened in our community, do we need to add to it a president where little black boys and little black girls are hearing this great man in the most powerful position in the land say, I believe that same-sex marriage is the direction that the country ought to go in. And then that same little black boy or little black girl look to the heroes in the black community on a local level, which are the preachers and the community leaders and the NAACP leaders, and then they see the leaders line up and follow this man. What kind of message are we sending our children? And we're the most vulnerable.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I've often quoted him. He said, the ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world that it leaves to its children. Mm. Dr. Wooden, I've got my phone lines lit up with people who are standing with
all
you
right,
and want to commend you. So we'll hear from some of them on the other side of the break. And I think the most important thing you're saying is this election is important, but there's a larger issue. There is the black voting constituency,
yes,
and the decisions made now can have repercussions for the years to come. If not taking a stand now, then when? Back with so much more. Stay with us.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My special guest today on The Line of Fire, Dr. Patrick Wooden. He is the senior pastor of Upper Room Church of God in Christ. He's labored in pastoral ministry in Raleigh, North Carolina for over 2.5 decades. He was a key leader in the church community as a whole and specifically in the African-American church community for the marriage amendment, and has made very plain why his views transcend Democrat or Republican and how the Black American community must be heard by both parties. The purpose of this show, as always, is not political, and we are not endorsing Mr. Romney or the Republican Party. The purpose of this show is not political. It is kingdom-based, and the kingdom of God intersects with every area of society. If you'd like to weigh in, if you'd like to ask a question of Dr. Wooden, if you'd like to agree with him or differ with him, number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. And Dr. Wooden, before we take some phone calls and hear more of your own view, I'd like you to give me your take on this clip. I played this in the first hour today, but I want to play it again. It's Bishop E.W. Jackson, his opening comments as a Black leader to the Black Christian community. Let's take a listen, and then, Dr. Wooden, give me your honest take of what he has to say.
All right.
My name is Bishop E.W. Jackson, chairman of Ministers Taking a Stand, with a message to Christians in the Black community. It is time to end the slavish devotion to the Democrat Party. They have insulted us, used us, and manipulated us. They have saturated the Black community with ridiculous lies. Unless we support the Democrat Party, we will be returned to slavery. We will be robbed of voting rights. The Martin Luther King holiday will be repealed. They think we are stupid and that these lies will hold us captive while they violate everything we believe as Christians. The Democrat Party has created an unholy alliance between certain so-called civil rights leaders and Planned Parenthood, which has killed unborn Black babies by the tens of millions. Planned Parenthood has been far more lethal to Black lives than the KKK ever was. And the Democrat Party and their Black civil rights allies are partners in this genocide.
What's your take on that, sir?
Well, he's telling the truth. There is, you can't argue with what he has said. My position is, I'm not telling people not to vote for President Obama. I'm not telling them to vote for him. I am saying cast an informed vote. I'm not going to vote for him. I can't. I didn't vote for him the first time. But people are to vote their conscience. I believe that when you're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit also goes into the voting booth with you. Mm-hmm. And how someone can be spirit-filled and cast a vote for someone who is for babies being killed, he's the most pro-abortion president that we've had, you know, they got to explain that vote to Jesus Christ and not to me. What Bishop Jackson has said is true. I had a wonderful lady, Miss Kathy Hughes, owner of TV1, owner of Radio 1, a tremendously successful African-American woman, to call me personally and say to me, Reverend, continue to make your stand. I have been trying to tell our people for years that it is not wise for us to put all of our eggs in the same basket. If any platform, if you look at the two platforms, and as you said in your opening, this is not, this show doesn't support the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. But of the two platforms, only one platform actively supports evil, and
yes,
abortion is evil. Same-sex marriage, the greatest oxymoron that I know, is evil. Those who are trying to redefine marriage, that is an evil endeavor. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Now, when Christians line up behind anyone, whether they're Black or white, who are promoting evil, then they are sowing to the flesh and they're going to reap corruption. They're sowing to the wind,
yeah,
and we're going to reap the whirlwind.
Yeah, the word is absolutely clear. Spiritual principles apply, whether it's our family life or politics. All right, back with your calls. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I appreciate the patience of those who have been holding for some time, ready to speak with Dr. Wooden, Dr. Patrick Wooden, Senior Pastor of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina, and an unashamed proponent of Jesus and the Bible. He is a preacher of the gospel, and that intersects with every area of life. Again, Dr. Wooden, I know how busy you are. Thanks for taking time to join us on the air.
It's an honor to be on your show.
Well, thank you, sir. And I know we scheduled it for this hour in particular because this is where we blanket North Carolina, and we wanted to speak to our friends all over North Carolina as well as around the nation. Let's start right in your neck of the woods. Coleman in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Coleman. Yes, you're on the air. It's you.
Okay. Dr. Wooten, how are you?
I'm doing fine. And you?
I am well, sir. I am well. I am a pastor in the Raleigh area.
Praise the Lord.
I had the honor and privilege of being at your church on the fifth Sunday before the amendment vote for your Amendment Day service.
Yes, sir.
And I have to tell you, so I am originally from the Church of God in Christ, and I now pastor a Free Will Baptist Church.
Praise the Lord.
In the Lillington area.
Praise the Lord.
And ran into some interesting dilemmas. And I was encouraged being at your service that you took a stand.
Yes,
and you stood with the word. And I, too, went back and taught in my Bible study and preached my Sunday morning service before the election.
Glory.
Was coming from the word, dealing with God being the definer of marriage, and that we dare not stand against that.
Amen.
So I commend you, and I support you. This is the challenge. And by the way, I am unaffiliated in North Carolina.
I am too.
This is the challenge that we face. It is true that I believe the Democratic Party takes us for granted. And the Republican Party believes that they cannot obtain our vote. And as a result, we are really ignored. For the most part.
Right.
But the challenge is when I look, and I've had people in my congregation and in other churches that I have a responsibility to, they've asked me, what should they do? Because I was so vocal about the amendment.
Yes, sir.
And the challenge is that when I look at Romney, and I understand how close the election is, a non-vote for Obama is really a vote for Romney. And when we look at this issue and it being politicized, my concern is that those that are for Romney, especially with the direction his campaign is headed in, we play into their hands by saying, don't vote for Obama. And,
right.
And my challenge is this, that neither candidate, in my opinion, supports what I believe to be a purely Christian platform. I listen to both, and when I think about social issues and all the other issues, I don't agree with either one of them 100%.
All right, so Coleman, let me just jump in and thank you, Pastor,
for
calling. So, Dr. Wooden, your response to Coleman?
Well, my response is, what it is true that neither may agree with him 100%, but one of the candidates is not campaigning and actively supporting evil. Now, I disagree totally with Mitt Romney's religion, but the things that Mitt Romney are saying on the religious/social issues are different from the things that President Obama is saying. So as far as a failure to vote for one is a vote for the other, I can't deal with that. People will vote their conscience. But one man is actively supporting evil. I remember when it was with McCain and Palin. They said, we got to choose between the lesser of two evils. No one has ever told me to this day what position that that John McCain took, McCain and Sarah Palin took, that was evil. Okay? Lesser of two evils. Well, I know it's not evil to be older. It's not evil to be a Republican. And it's not evil to be from Alaska, you know?
Or a
and
woman.
It's not evil to say I can see Russia from my house. You see,
right.
As a Christian, we vote our conscience. But like the marriage amendment, right quick, because other people want to get in. They lied on the amendment. That this is why there was some questions. They said the amendment would take children food out of children's mouths. It would rob women of their domestic violence protections. These were lies. It never has happened before. It hasn't happened since. And those who oppose the amendment have not apologized yet for the lies they told. At first, they said that the marriage amendment was a trick to get people to vote against Obama in November. Well, we moved it from November to the May primaries, and they still opposed it. The truth is, those who are on the other side believe they have an ideology that is totally different from ours, and I think we ought to leave it up to God. If one of the candidates, I will say to the listening audience, if either of the candidates has overcome your objections, your God-fearing objections, vote for him. If you can just cast a vote that you can explain to Jesus Christ, because you'll have to.
Yeah, well said. And of course, I agree with everything that you just said. Point on. Rick in Bladensburg, Maryland, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I'm dancing in place because you wouldn't believe what I'm doing. I'm a broadcast student myself here.
Okay.
And I'm writing on the issue of this. And I just had a conversation before I even turned you on. I didn't know I had you on my frequency here. And I've been listening for the past, half an hour, 40 minutes. And everything you say, you're right on target. And God bless both of you.
Bless you, sir.
And I'm going to continue to listen. But I am insulted when someone assumes, stereotype me, and say that I'm Democrat. And I have several people in my family who are Republican. I'm African-American. I'm retired military, retired public safety, and I'm in the ministry. But what's getting me there, the Lord is revealing so many things to me about what's happening. And I guess being in the broadcasting field, looking at different periodicals and things coming, that's not even out on the mainstream media, and people thinking what they hear on the mainstream media is the truth and the fact, which it isn't. And it's really sad that it's really no one to pick from. And just what Dr. Wooden said is that you have to leave it up to God, but you have to make an informed vote. So you have to try to get informed. Not just talk to my daughter about that a few days ago. I said, we need to pray about it. And I said, what you thinking Obama is all great and everything, that's not necessarily so. It's other issues, and I will bring it to her attention. From information that I've found, and even talking with her and other people, they don't want to listen to it because they have this ostrich mentality. The head is in the ground. And I'm not arguing with them, but I try to inform people, but it's definitely a spiritual battle. But I just want to say, outstanding. I'm listening to you guys, and it's right on time, and I really appreciate everything you guys say.
Sounds like she has a great dad. Your daughter has a great dad, and she should be grateful. And we're certainly praying for you in the broadcasting field, because you're in a field that is consumed by and large with people of the liberal persuasion. But I believe that as Christians, we've got to stand on the word of the Lord at the end of the day.
Yep.
And I asked for that in this next career. I said, what is for you, Lord, whatever you want me to do. And he's revealed, just by sitting down at this table, I have to yield. I have to say thank you because it's just, I'm just talking to a coworker, and she would say, guess what else Obama did? I said, okay, and I listen to her. But she thinks I'm Democrat. I said, yeah, I'm registered Democrat, but I want to do the right thing, you know, what's just scripturally correct. I want to do the right thing. And you're absolutely right. I have to answer to Jesus. You know?
One thing, could I just mention one thing right quick? One of the things we got to be concerned about as Christians who are registered to either party, you got to be careful what you allow your name to be tied to, because whatever you sign up for, you're complicit in it. Now, this is the party the other day that booed God. They tried to drop God's name from the party platform when it backfired. When the next day the news was not about Mrs. Obama's speech, nor was it about her beautiful dress or how beautiful she is. She's a beautiful lady. She's a lovely lady. I disagree with her ideology. Lovely lady. And it makes me proud to look and see people of the darker hue in such a powerful, prestigious position. But the ideology is rotten. And so when they saw that the news was more about the Dems dropping God, then they tried to fix it. And you know God didn't win the vote, but they put God back in, and God was booed. I can't have my name to a party that boos God.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we've just got a few more minutes with Dr. Patrick Wooden, the pastor, senior pastor of Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. He has ministered now in the city for over 25 years, and he is a unashamed voice of righteousness. Pastor Wooden, I don't know that you hear from Hawaii a lot, but we're on live in Hawaii. That's one of our locations. And I want you to hear from Barbara in, is it Ewa Beach in Hawaii?
Ewa Beach.
Okay, yes. You're on with Dr. Patrick Wooden.
Thank you very much, Dr. Brown, and I want to thank you for the show today. Unfortunately, those that need to hear it are probably not listening.
Oh, don't assume that, Barbara.
Oh, trust me. We know that the devil is a liar and
yes,
a deceiver,
ma'am.
And unfortunately, the descendants of Ham are once again being deceived. I am a 65-year-old child of God, who happens to be an African-American female.
All right.
I'm a disabled veteran and a cancer survivor who has just retired in 2007 from 30 years of active duty Navy service.
Wow.
I am a Mustang, okay? So the topic that you're discussing today obviously affects me on a lot of different levels. I want my people to wake up. If you're a child of God, okay, you will either cast a vote or you will not cast a vote based on God's word.
That's
not
it.
Not a man's word. And that's the bottom line. There are no ifs, ands, no buts. If you're a child of God, you know what his word says. You stand firm on his word.
I don't know how it could have been said any better.
Amen.
And then the weight, her experience, God bless you, ma'am, what she has contributed to our country. And her walk with the Lord, that's powerful. Amen.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the call, and thank you for your service. Charles in Charlotte, North Carolina, pretty close to me. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. I've been listening as I've been painting outside, but I want to say thank you for calling evil evil.
Yes, sir.
I also want to really second what the caller just before me said, because I have come to the conclusion that one of the fundamental decisions every person makes is whether we affirm that we are truly God's beloved son or daughter, that is our real identity. If we don't, we allow the world to define who we are.
Amen.
On the whole marriage issue, I really thank you for speaking out as you did, and I want to throw this at you, and there's really not enough time to, and if there was some time later to discuss it further, I'd like to or contact you, but I think we have to also look at it as preserving integrity, and specifically the integrity of words, that marriage was a religious term, and
yes,
the Constitution provides no means for redefining any word for legal purposes. And we, in fact, protect logos, writers, and stuff for their writing. So the Constitution should protect the integrity of words. The danger I see, which I have heard absolutely no public discussion of, is when this gets to the Supreme Court, and it's on their agenda this year, if they rule in favor of it on the basis of equal protection, which is a false basis because you have to first redefine marriage in order to do that,
right,
then we will have established a very dangerous constitutional precedent. The government has the right to redefine any word going forward, and I think people need to ask themselves, do you really want to give government that kind
that
of
much power?
Wow.
Charles, great point. Dr. Wooden, we've got about one more minute. Charles, thank you so much for weighing in. And obviously you affirm, you started with the issue of marriage and God defining it. Sir, in your last minute, just speak your heart to our listening audience all over North Carolina and in different parts of the nation.
For those who say to me, and thank you for allowing me to be on your show, for those who say to me, preacher, you cannot legislate your morality, you can't tell us what to do. Listen, we're not trying to legislate morality. Morality has already been legislated. We're trying to keep our government from legislating immorality. We are in a time where they're trying to pretend as though words no longer have meanings, as though the Bible is not to be taken literally. One of the things that alarmed me after the president made his announcement on May the 9th, I heard African-American Christian after African-American Christian call into a particular radio station and say, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus Christ, I believe the Bible, but maybe it is time for them to for people of the same sex to get married. But I believe the Bible, but this. So I don't think we should make that exception. Let God be true, listening audience, and every man a liar who disagrees with God, whether he's the president or the president's competition, whether he's black, white, or any other color, let us stand on the word of God and vote our spirit-filled and spirit-affected conscience. Thank God that my conscience have not been seared with a hot iron, and I believe that there are many other Christians out there whose conscience haven't been seared, and God, the Holy Spirit, is going to touch them when they get into the ballot box. You may walk away writing in Jesus Christ, but listen, do not vote. Don't cast a vote that you can't defend before the Lord Jesus.
Dr. Wooden, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it. It's an honor to have you on the broadcast with me, and glad we're joined together for righteousness in the kingdom. May Jesus be exalted. God bless you, sir.
God bless you. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Friends, important, critical issues which we raise here, not as political issues, but as kingdom-based issues. My guest, Dr. Patrick Wooden, senior pastor of Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. Feel free to share your views if you agree or disagree. Feel free to share your views on my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. We've had two very important hours, really, truly, very important hours on the line of fire today. Rich in content, necessary listening. Here's how to get the CDs with both of today's broadcasts and two of my books. Purchased individually would be about $40 of material, but today, $20. Postage paid, two books in one, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, one of my most powerful books, a real wake-up call to the church, especially the charismatic church, and It's Time to Rock the Boat, a call to preach a biblically-based confrontational gospel. Those two books together is one, and the CDs from today's broadcast, just $20, postage paid. These books will minister richly, deeply to you. Call to order 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. The two books and the CDs from today's broadcast. My bottom line, let it be when we go to vote this November, let it be that the vote that we cast will be cast in the sight of God, honoring Him with our words and with our deeds.